My name is L.A. Margioli.
This is Dr. Aaron Judkins.
This is Trey Smith.
This is Ryan Peterson.
This is Dr. Judd Burton.
This is Timothy Albrino.
This is Derek Gilbert, and you're listening to The Dig Bible Podcast.
Glad you made it. Come along for the ride as we search for hidden truth, explore historical context, and dig into God's Word to help us understand the past, present, and future of this supernatural world. This is Steve, along with Justin and Ben, and you are listening to the Dig Bible Podcast.
I'm excited today, and I know we've been talking for a while already, but I'm excited today because today we have with somebody who I've been excited to talk to. I got to meet her at a conference we went to. It was the, and I even have the pamphlet still right here next to me, the Hear the Watchman conference that we were at in Dallas, Texas. And that is the furthest we've traveled. We go up to one in Ohio. We went last year. We're going the end of July again, a different one that's called the Go There For Conference, which is awesome. Some of the same speakers, Derek Gilbert and people of that nature. So it's a great conference. But we got to meet you at this, and I had never heard you speak before. And to be honest, I really didn't know who you were. But we listen to your presentation, and I'm getting to who it is. I'm just letting you know. But listen to your presentation, and it was so in tune with everything that we talk about. It was so in tune with the supernatural. It was so in tune with just the way that I know the world right now, what they need to hear. It's what it was. So when we got done listening to that presentation, I actually tried to find you like three different times, and you were with groups of people every time. And I randomly was going to the bathroom, and you were coming back, and I was like, hey, stop. But today we have with us.
Do it that way. That'd be kind of
scary. Well, it wasn't quite like that. It was a little more like, hey, do you mind coming on our show? But today we have with us Dr. Carrie Madej, right?
Yeah, Madej, tomato, tomato. It's good.
I know. I just want to say it right.
I'm from Michigan. You know, we have funny last names.
Well, it's true. My last name is Zill, Z-I-L-L. And you would, my male, it's Dill, it's Phil. Unless, they can't get it right. It Zeal, I get
first,
Zeal.
First, Phil's the first name.
It doesn't matter. Right. So is Joe Bob, and they say that twice.
Joe Bob Bob.
But Dr. Carrie is an osteopath, researcher, speaker, even a plane crash survivor, which to me is one of the most amazing stories. I listened to an episode with her speaking to one of her friends, a chiropractor, and I listened to that whole story and how you broke it down, and it blew my mind. It was unbelievable. We're just really excited to have her here, as well as have another Michigander, because normally I'm the only one here and everybody makes fun of my accent. So thank you for coming on.
Now you're going to make fun of two accents.
Thank you for having me. It's always an honor, and love talking about the Lord and supernatural and all that. And I've had a lot of different experiences in my life, and I know that everything happens for a reason. Got a lot of stories, but hoping that my stories aren't too extreme anymore. Because this last one with the plane crash, which was it's almost 2 years now. It was June 26th of 2022. That's the day that happened. And so that really shaped a lot of where I'm at now. But God miraculously has healed me. And I'm actually stronger than I was from even before the crash, which is amazing. So we can talk about all different kinds of things. I can go in any direction. Happy.
Well, that just means this is going to be like a six-parter is what's going to happen. So I'm just kidding. Get some coffee.
No problem. I can go down some rabbit holes too. So,
well, I love that. And that's us too. We get off topic quite a bit because we find something. And that's what I always say is we like to let the Holy Spirit lead our conversations. I don't want to say this is what we're talking about when that's not what God wants us to talk about at that point. Numerous conversations we've had in the past, we get halfway through the conversation and I don't even know how we got here. Like, how did we get here? Hopefully somebody needed to hear this. That's how we operate. So, I apologize for the sporadic nature of the content at times. However, I love it. And I love just to kind of see where it goes. But I want you, we may jump back. It just depends on time, on your time, and on Ben, you know, everybody, how everything goes. But I kind of wanted you to jump in. You brought up an interesting topic when we were going back and forth about coming on the show, talking about quantum physics in the Bible. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's something that I've never thought of quite in that way. I've heard one person speak a little bit on this, but I want to hear your take. I want to kind of, I know this is a really broad topic, but I want you kind of break it down. You can give us the, you know, the quantum physics for dummies approach initially, if you'd like, or you can dive right in. I'm good either way.
So I think, you know, this is a really important topic because we're supposed to, the whole Bible is important, not just the New Testament. And but there's so many areas in the Bible that are very out there, very supernatural, a serpent talking to people, right? Or angels seem to be just commonplace, especially in the Old Testament. There's another angel, like no big deal, right? And people knew they looked different. They knew they were angels, you know, or Jesus' transfiguration, changing appearance, or bilocation, being in two places at once, you know, or just, you know, Enoch being translated, going outside this realm, outside of time and space, and coming back and then leaving again. I mean, there's so many things that we can go through. And so people, the average person says that they look at it and deep down, they don't believe it. And this is an issue, isn't it? Because if you don't believe anything in one thing or one part, then the whole Bible falls apart. So I think this is such an important topic because the whole Bible is the word of God. It's a living word. It's true. It's a historical reference. And so many people like, I think it's got, you know, law, Ten Commandments, but maybe they're just using analogies or parables. And if that's the case, if you're trying to say that, well, again, the whole thing falls apart. So it is an important thing to really look at and try to explain because we want to understand as best we can. And so quantum physics is actually a science that is not traditionally taught in school, but it is being proved with research to be true. It's not just equations on a board. And so it, when you're looking at it, it actually, any scientist that gets really into it, even the ones that are secular, they start to see that there has to be a God. It proves that. Not that you have to have proof, but it's amazing. And it also explains a lot of things about us, about the miraculous nature of who and what we are. It gets me excited because we are not just little physical beings going around. We really are soul and a spirit too. And so it's important to understand that. And then also, this is probably when I really got into it, is knowing what those people that are, you know, nefarious, the evil side, what are they doing in our world right now? Well, they know the Bible and they also know about quantum physics and they've been doing things. So they're hard at work doing things that have to do with portals and dimensions and wanting to do time travel and all this. And you can say, I don't believe it, but they're scientists from all over the world. There's almost every country is involved and every world leader is involved in this. So I think we should understand what's going on because it involves that. What are they trying to do? What do they believe in? And so the one of the first stories, before I go into CERN, one of the first stories that really got my attention to look into this was March of 2003 when the U.S. went to war with Iraq. And it's a lot of things are being covered up. But that day, we did not go there for weapons of mass destruction. We actually went there for the antiquities, for artifacts. And actually, one individual was really why everybody went to war. It was about Gilgamesh and Nimrod. He goes by both names. So this is a biblical character from thousands of years ago. And that individual is why this fake, you know, for this falsely, this false accusation of weapons of mass destruction. It was just a cover to go to war over his tomb like Indiana Jones. So I don't know if people get the gravity of that. This major war was over a biblical character. And in this in the story, this guy wanted to kill God. He became almost superhuman, right? And there's different ideas of how he did that. But anyway, the Tower of Babel was massive. If you actually do the calculations, it's nothing like we have in the world today. And you know, this, you know, when he died, there's extra biblical writings about how that happened, but not in the Bible. But anyhow, we do know it says that he's the one that's building the Tower of Babel and wanting, you know, to be God. So why would we send all these people in there to get his tomb? And inside the tomb, there were artifacts. Only last year did the U.S. return some of the cuneiform writing tablets. They borrowed them without asking, which is called stealing. And then they got caught and they had to bring it back. So these are important. A resurrection chamber found. What the heck is a resurrection chamber? They don't just tell you that. What does that mean? It doesn't sound good. I'd never heard about that in a pyramid. And some people hypothesize perhaps it was a Stargate. So, oh, we're getting into sci-fi stuff now. Stargate. And then also some people said they did find his body. And of course it was denied by our government. But those that claim that we did find his body, that it was incorruptible or kind of intact, meaning they could get genetic material. And so when the Clinton email dump came out, I forgot what year that was, there is something that was mentioned about this body, Gilgamesh Nimrod. And in it, they said, where is the resurrection chamber and where is the body and the other Nephilim body? This is actually in an email. So this is going on with our government is talking about Nephilim. There are emails going on. There's communication going on with the word Nephilim. There's communication going on with Gilgamesh Nimrod. That's a big deal, right? So, you know, this is where I really started to pay attention, like, wait a minute. And then, you know, I have a biology background. I actually took genetics at an intro class in Central Michigan. And so I understood a little bit of genetics. And that's when I started to realize that, you know, if you had enough of the DNA, you could start trying to put it inside another human, you know, kind of Jurassic Park kind of thing. So this is why I started to look into this. And I said, well, what is a resurrection chamber? Looking at stargates, is this possible? And so this is what got me down the rabbit hole of going into quantum physics and seeing all the research and the data behind it. So anyway, this got me into looking at CERN, which is Switzerland and France. It's under the ground, 17 miles in diameter. And they have, I think, tens of thousands of scientists working on it, where they're taking the smallest particles, protons, and slamming them into each other, trying to recreate dark matter, which is in most of the universe. So what created all of everything? They're also trying to, by their own admission, open up portals, which is a shortened distance between very long distances, like a wormhole. And also they talk about dimensions, meaning, you know, we are in this realm, but maybe go into another realm. And then also they admit that perhaps there are other beings that could communicate or come through. So these are scientists talking about this. So this is why I said, we really need to know what's going on. And this also opens up the door of understanding angels and demons and the other fantastic things that are talked about in the Bible. So in knowing that, it also brings up who and what we are, how God created us, and the potential that we have, that we don't need to have fear. Knowing how we're created and how we're made is the most, I just actually get the most joy out of that. But I don't know where you want to go from that. I kind of throw out a lot of different
things. I'd love to hear a little more about CERN. When we talk about that, you know, I've heard a lot of different theories about what they're trying to do at CERN. The idea that, you know, it's for dark matter, or the idea it's you know, the God particle, you know, these different things that they're looking for. I often wonder if this is potentially, you know, that they're trying to reach into that other realm, that make that portal that you're talking about, to let those fallen angels out of the abyss, or basically starting the end, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. One interesting thing is that I was only taught we had three phases of matter, but this includes us. That's solid, water, and gas. But there's a fourth state called plasma. And we actually create this, and it's most notable in our heart, because in a true state of love, we actually emanate this energy. So water can turn into plasma. So it's ice, then liquid, water, then steam, but then it can get a higher energy and turn into something called plasma. It's more of a charged water, let's say. But we can create this energy too. And this is the same energy that actually holds the celestial objects up in space. It's the same kind of thing, but we are making it. But see, we have love. We have the potential, right? We're made out of love. God is love. And so that's the highest force in the universe. So we can make this energy. What I'm saying is it's very powerful. And this is how miracles happen. I think the other side, though, is they know that that's plasma force is what they're trying to recreate, but they're trying to recreate it synthetically and doing it in a different manner, you know, slamming particles together and maybe some other ways that they're doing it. So doing it without an organic way that makes sense, mm-hmm. and forcing it to happen. And I'm sure that they're using maybe some other technologies, you know, that we don't completely understand. But this goes into other things like, well, what is that stuff in space? It's not just empty. Space is just like the Bible talks about. He stretches out the heavens. It says, our Father in heaven, he can shake them out. He can, you know, fold them. Many parts of the Bible say this. Well, now that we understand more that space is not just empty, it actually has a substance like ether or plasma is one way to look at it. So technically, you can actually have a fold in space. And space-time are together. You can't separate them. So if you fold, if you have like a wrinkle in there, or you pull it up like the fabric, and it's called the fabric in the Bible, then you can make two points that are far away closer together. You can also, with the slamming of the particles, there's theorized they could make a mini black hole. A mini black hole could do a lot of different things. But yeah, this space-time is really important for people to know, because we were always taught time is the same. Everywhere you go, it's linear. It doesn't change. Well, time does change, and time is only really within our realm. You get outside of our realm. That's why God doesn't go by the same time that we do. 1,000 years to us could be one day to him. It's just in this realm, because time is attached to the physical matter here. It's time, space. So if you affect physical matter, you affect the time, and vice versa. So this is where another thing that they're trying to do is look for ways of manipulating time. And in the wrong hands, it's very dangerous, right? And in my opinion, I with everything I've seen with this recent research that a lot of scientists are doing, it looks like they're trying to create a time loop. And think about, why would especially somebody evil wanted to create a time loop? Because in the Bible, there's a judgment day coming, and there is a definite day. And if you know that your judgment day is coming and you know that you can't get out of it, what are you going to do about it? You know, you can't outsmart God, of course, but what if you just didn't allow that day to ever happen? What if you could, in this realm, start a loop? You know, it's kind of technically going by what God wrote, right? Like, you know, that's what Satan does. He's like finding that little, you know, literal loophole. And I think that's truly one of the biggest things that they're really trying to do, honestly, manipulating time, space. And just to give people an example, yes, you can manipulate time. So if you take a clock on a plane and fly east, and the same clock, you can fly west. Do you know that the time will be different? Meaning, it's not just time change. I'm talking about they'll be off by like a second or so. Mm-hmm. One atomic clock, the most precise clock in, I believe, Denver, Colorado, so that's high altitude, and then in the UK somewhere, which is more sea level. Those two clocks are always different every year by 0.001 second. And they're both accurate, though. They're different because of the altitude. So altitude changes it. Speed, if you go faster, your clock will, you actually go slower in time, you yourself, but not everything around you. Gravity affects it, mass, all kinds of things. So an extreme example to get people to understand, if you sent someone to space, let's say we could do that at almost the speed of light, we sent them to the nearest star called Alpha Centauri, that's 4.5 light years away. So the whole round trip would take 9 years. 9 years according to the person here on Earth. But when that person came back, they would only experience 33 days of their life, and they would look like they only experienced 33 days of their life. That's how time is malleable. So this is something to really understand, because we also have things that we can't explain. There have been real historical documents, even up recently with Bermuda Triangle and was it Superior? I think even a little bit of Lake Huron too, that there's a triangle there. And I can tell you, my family had a little lake house up there in Lake Huron, and the weirdest things would happen, like electromagnetic storm, weird color lightning, and this fog, which literally you look down, look up, you couldn't see your hand in front of your face. Strange things happened there. You could not explain. And that's where most of the shipwrecks, even more, I think, than the Bermuda Triangle happened. So there have been time space abnormalities there. If you look for them, there are actual documented cases of this, of losing time or, you know, things disappearing and reappearing. How do you explain that? Right. I mean, so we are just not taught the proper science about really how, what realm we're in and how we're created. The important thing is that we should be delving into it, because the other side, those are the oppressing us, the ones that have evil intentions, they're manipulated, they're trying to do something. So we need to wake up to that. So, you know, one thing I explained to people too, to make them understand a little bit, we have different dimensions, different realms, dimensions, but an easy way to understand, if we start entering into a new dimension, the rules change. And I use the example of, if you take in geometry in class, you're drawing triangles, and a basic thing the teacher has everyone do is, okay, inside the triangle, measure up the angles and see what is the total of the angles. And every time when you measure those angles, it's always 180 degrees, and for sure that's always how it is. That's the rule. Well, when you're doing those triangles, you're drawing it on paper. It's two-dimensional. It's just, that's it. But let's say someone said, okay, there's a triangle out in that big cornfield, and I want you and your friends to measure the angles of that triangle and come back and tell me what they are. So you measure them 2, 3, maybe 5 times, and you all participate, and you're all confused because you were taught it would always be 180 degrees, but this time it's not. It's 183 degrees. So you come back and you're confused. You're like, so we did something wrong. It's 183 degrees. And the teacher goes, you're correct. It is. Because, well, I thought the rule was it would always be 180. You're correct too. It would be 180 in two dimensions. But when you go to three dimensions, the rules change, because now you have another layer. You have convex or concave. And again, when you enter the fourth dimension, the rules change, or the fifth dimension, the rules change. So this is how matter can change, and the rules of the science can change as each dimension happens. And so this is kind of a brief way of talking about this. And again, all of this has to do with, are we interacting with other beings? Is there another dimension out there? Are they trying to manipulate time? And all of these things are technically possible, yes. But the time thing for sure is a big deal to me, because Jesus did tell us in the Bible, he said, he warned us about his second coming. He said, don't be like Lot's wife. And we know, what did Lot's wife do? She hesitated and turned back because it was too late. And what if, you know, this is just a thought, like when Jesus comes, when heaven comes to earth, heaven does not have time, nor does hell, but we do. So if heaven comes to earth, does time go to heaven? Probably not. Maybe time just stops. So maybe when he comes, the hourglass is broke. Time is no longer there. And wherever you are is where you're stuck. Meaning we always should keep the oil in our lamps full and know that when he's coming, because maybe we don't have that luxury of, okay, now I'm going to follow the right way. But I do believe that time is a huge, huge deal. If it's all in the Bible, it's talking about this and the manipulation of time. I don't think that Adam and Eve had time until they ate the fruit, because then the clock started. And that's when decay started. They didn't have any decaying body. They didn't have any problems. But when they agreed, made this, the foolish agreement with Satan, because now they knew evil, they only knew good. You know, in Satan's world, it's a dead world. He comes from, you know, it's from a lower state of being. And so the clock starts, because there's going to be an end, and God made that prophecy in the beginning. There would be an end, because there the woman, seed of the woman crushed the heat of the seed of the serpent. So there's an end point. So again, that hourglass, that clock is ticking, there's an end to it. Remember that there's an end to the time. So then I just think that this is a manipulation that's going on both sides. And it's also a warning that we can't just be lackadaisical and we should, you know what I mean? Not waste the time that we have.
Mm. No, that's an excellent point. And this has been going on for, a long time, but when they would send up the space shuttle, the same thing they do, they'd keep a clock, you know, on the ground, and the clock in the space shuttle, and the space shuttle gets up to, I don't remember how fast it is, but it's thousands of miles an hour when it's going up. And when it would come back down, that clock was always slower. Like you said, it would always be slower. It'd always be behind, just because the speed you're able to get to, it starts bending space time. Same thing that you're talking about. So you see that, and this has been stuff that they've been studying for a long time. I think you could probably take that back even to the Book of Enoch, when we go through some of the forbidden knowledge that was given out and things of that nature, that some of these things and the initiation of some of these things started trickling down when this knowledge was given to people that we weren't supposed to have, even though it says they were not they had the most useless secrets of heaven, basically. But this knowledge trickles down, and it, you know, what does it say in the Bible? It says, you know, that knowledge will increase in those days. And I do believe at the exponential rate that we're getting it, just like it happened in the Book of Enoch, we're getting some extra help on the side, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, definitely. When you do the deep dive into what they're doing at CERN, it will blow your mind away. And the amount of people behind it. So I just think that people need to be aware of what's happening in the world and know that the answer is in the Bible. I don't get that worried about it, meaning I just know that God gave us everything we need, but we also have to be wise as serpents and gentle as doves, meaning you have to understand what's happening. There's just lots of things. You know, you look at these, you have the Bigfoot sign in the back. You know, I was just in Colorado, and people are telling me about a weird events that would happen in these mountains, electromagnetic storms would happen, and they would just, you know, they'd swear it was only 20 minutes, but they'd go and it'd be 2 hours later. Mm-hmm. Or strange things happen, right? And there's always electromagnetic storms happening, some kind of shift happening at that area. I know I was in Dominican Republic for a while, and this peninsula, we had some storms there. I've never experienced anything like that in my life, where, again, it was, when I say electromagnetic, that means no electronics work. It's just weird, you know, lightning, strange weather, you know, strange colors, strange noises that everybody would hear. And I mean, the weird noises that we would hear, just like other people report with those electromagnetic storms. So what is that? I mean, are we all hallucinating? I mean, there's something going on with that. And being at Lake Huron, I mean, when I was a kid, my parents still remember it. There's some strange things that happened. But we knew not to go into that water, of course. Don't tempt it. Just, you know, wait till the fog leaves. Yeah, a lot of things happen like that.
It just makes you wonder, you know, how many stories people have said about things and some, oh, you're crazy or you're this. But people see things, you know, there's a very supernatural world around us that, most of the time, you know, it just gets pushed to the side, or we try to rationalize it with our own reasoning, and it just doesn't make sense. So I think that's amazing. Now, if it's all right with you, what I'd like to do is kind of stop this and make this one short episode, but I'd love to, if you have time, I don't know, you got to tell me if you got time.
Yeah, I'm good.
I would love you just to give us your, your plane story, your plane crash story, if you could, as your witness. Mm-hmm. We're very big. My thing is, and this is something I believe 100%, is that if you look at what Paul talked about in the New Testament, and he, in three different times, he talks about his witness, and you know it was so many more than that, but three different times it is stated. And if you look, every time Peter's talking, every time one of the disciples is talking or the apostles is talking, it's about the amazing things they've witnessed. It's their witness. Yeah. And our witness and our testimony is the most powerful thing we have, because it's why we have our faith. It's why we believe what we believe. And you've been through some amazing things in your life. And I know we're just scratching the surface. I know we are. But when I heard you tell that story, it blew me away. I mean, it's an emotional story. It's a roller coaster, but it shows not only the power of your faith, it shows the power of God. It shows the power of prayer.
Yeah.
And this is things that people need to hear in this day right now. To me, that is, I could sit here and talk about the fringe things till I'm blue in the face. I love it. But our witness is what God wants us to give people.
Yeah.
So I'd love you to jump in a little bit to that. We can cut this up a little bit and and we'll put it together. But I just really absolutely love your story on this. And I think it's an amazing testimony.
So part of it, I have to go back around 26, 27 years ago, because that's an important part of the story. I was flying from Michigan to somewhere in Florida where I was interviewing at, medical school. Yeah, residency or medical school. And so I was on this Delta flight, and we were not that long in the air where I felt, I'm like, something's wrong in the plane. I was with a friend, I'm like, something's wrong. And shortly after, true story, the co-pilot comes out of the cockpit, walks down the aisle in the middle of the plane, kneels down. He takes the carpet, rolls it up, takes floorboards out. This happened. Puts his head down, looks like this, goes, puts the floorboards back, the carpet back, stands up, goes back to the cockpit without saying a word. I'm like, I knew it. Something's wrong. And they don't make the planes like that, but old Delta pilots will know what kind of plane that is. So all of a sudden, the pilot's voice comes over the loudspeaker, and he goes, "Ladies and gentlemen," very calm. "Ladies and gentlemen, you might have seen my co-pilot go back out into the aisle and, you know, take floorboards out and put his head down." He goes, "He was just simply doing a safety check, checking on the landing gear. The sensor here says one of the landing gear isn't working, that one is stuck. So we needed to double check." And he goes, he verified that, yes, the landing gear is stuck. And he said, so, but he was so calm, like he was talking about, hey, the baseball game. And he said, so what we're going to do here is we're going to turn this plane around. We're going to go back to Detroit, and you might see the gas being emptied out on each side of the wing, and that's no big deal. And then the lady next to me said, "Why are they doing that?" I said, "Well, we don't want to blow everybody else up too with us." I was a little smart mouth back then. And so he said, "We're going back to Detroit." And I was still not aware exactly how serious this was. He goes, "We're just going to keep circling the airport." And he says, "When we're circling, you're going to see hazmat teams out there. And they're going to put all white foam." And they did. They put foam everywhere. And they're all in these suits. And these flashing trucks. And that's when I'm like, oh, this might be a little difficult. And so people were starting to get very upset, as you can imagine, yelling, screaming. But I had this calmness come over me, the Holy Spirit, because I heard Father's voice saying, "You're not going to die in a plane crash. It's not how you'll leave this world." And so literally this happened on the last turnaround. The pilot said, "Now we're going to make our descent." And as we made the descent, we hear clunk, clunk. The landing gear just worked. It started to work. And so we landed fine. Of course, everybody was freaking out. But I was like, I just got to get to my interview, and got on with the next flight. I'm sure a lot of lawsuits happened from that. I didn't get the gravity of what we went through. But I became very cavalier after that. Believe me, I went skydiving. I didn't care if it was a single engine old plane. Who cares? I'm fine. I was definitely a little cavalier because I thought, that's not how I'm going to leave this world. And so this goes into June 26th of 2022. It was in a single engine Piper plane, Piper Comanche plane, flying from Florida to Noonan, Georgia, just me and the pilot, and almost got to the destination. I will tell you that I did have a premonition, though. I felt that I could die, which is a strange feeling, right? I almost vomited on the plane. I was sweating. It was really weird. But, you know, I just thought it was, what is something wrong? I didn't, it just kind of pushed through it. I didn't listen to that voice, right? So 7 miles outside of Noonan, the airport, the plane all of a sudden starts shaking. I call it like a washing machine. And it's a little plane, you guys. Have you ever been in one of those planes? Like, it's a tin can and you're just here. There's nothing there, right? So I instantly, you know, with the pilot, you know, going through things like, did you do this, this, this? I was learning a little bit as I went along and nothing's working. So he was notified air traffic control. I put one hand on the side, one hand on the roof, and I was just praying with everything in my might, going, this is not happening. This is not happening. This, I mean, my mind going, I can't believe this is happening. And so the plane just didn't get better. I thought it was going to get, no, it doesn't get better. And the air traffic controller told the pilot to do something strange. He said, do a 180 and go all the way to somewhere called Warm Springs, Georgia, which is not close. I mean, it's close, but not that close. And it's an airport that has no support. Nobody's there. It's just like an empty runway with nobody there. Now, I see a lot of flat land. I'm not a pilot, but I see a lot of empty roads, flat land. I thought we're supposed to make an emergency landing. And no, there's none of that. We were supposed to go to this other town in the middle of nowhere. And at that point, my heart sank going, oh my gosh. And I just remember praying with all my might. And I don't know how this plane is shaking like this, how it stayed in the air that long. That's a miracle. I mean, it's really a miracle. And it just feel like a spiritual battle in the air. But as I was praying, I could see in my mind's eye, like two big hands and two wings over the plane. And that gave me, you know, it was his will, you know, we were in his hands. And so right before we get to the other airport, which is a miracle, the plane just stops, the RPMs go to zero. And I thought planes should glide after they stop, like, you know, the engine stops. This one didn't glide. It just goes, I'm like, that's not supposed to happen. The pilot goes, no, I don't think that's supposed to happen. I'm like, that's not the answer you give me. Lie to me. You know? So we start to do a free fall drop. And at that point, there were pine trees there. I guess that helped brace the impact. But all of a sudden I got really calm and the pilot said, okay, now we're going to crash. And I just was calm. I said, okay. Because this time I had a big conversation with God, but then all of a sudden the thought hit me that, wait a minute, God said I wouldn't die in a plane crash, but he never said I wouldn't be in a plane crash. Oh my gosh, it's going to hurt so bad. So I started to think about all the ways I could get hurt and survive. You have to laugh at those little things. But the next thing I knew, we were all these pine branches in the windshield, and a voice told me, you know, God told me, turn your head. So I turned my head towards the pilot. Otherwise, my face would have been pretty cut up and broken up. And so then all of a sudden, I remember seeing the impact going back and forth, and then white. Everything was white. And I felt like, and for a second, I'm like, oh, I'm going into, you know, like death. And all of a sudden, I'm back in my body. And I remember thinking, am I alive? And I had pain and I was in my body. So I guess, okay, I'm alive. I literally had to think that. But I wasn't breathing or anything. I just could see. And then all of a sudden the instinct to breathe started. And it was like this weird grunting. Even in medicine, I'm trained in internal medicine, I've never heard of anything like this, but I couldn't get the air in. And at this time, the pilot was unconscious. And then luckily, all of a sudden, it seemed like his spirit came back and he was doing the same grunting thing. So finally, I could get some air in my lungs because I'm like, I'm going to pass out again. And then I couldn't hear anything for a while. And then the high-pitched noise came. And then literally after time, I could hear. The sense of smell came back then. And then I could smell a little bit of gas. But thank God I didn't catch on fire. It wasn't a lot. And then I realized, okay, I got to figure out what's going on. And I just did triage as a doctor, went to doctor mode, and realized my leg was, my foot was turned 120 degrees the opposite direction. And I could feel the bones grinding. So I knew I couldn't bleed out, or that could be fatal. So I knew I had to get the pressure off my leg. So I was able to pull my body out into the wing and lay it back on the wing. And I had to keep reorienting the pilot because he didn't know who and where we were. He was completely disoriented. So we waited for, you know, the emergency crew, because air traffic control knew we were crashing, and nothing, no sirens. I think it probably was 10 or 15 minutes where I was able to tell the pilots that no one's looking for us. And so between the two of us found a phone on a floorboard, called 911, and they wanted our health insurance card first, and also to know if we were in contact with COVID people. And finally, after five times of I lost my temper, they finally said, okay, we're sending somebody. So again, 10, 15 minutes go by. There's no sirens. This is a tiny town. And I said, you're lying to me. You're lying to us. You don't know where we're at. And after the fifth time of asking this woman, she finally said, no, we don't know where you're at. Oh, you're just wandering around in an ambulance. And so I told her, I said, we're in the middle of the trees. We fell on the top. There's no entry point. So then she didn't know how to find us. So thank God this is the Lord doing this. I had clarity of mind where he said, pin the location. So I was able to pin the location on the phone and send that pin to the son of the pilot, and then told 911 dispatcher, get in touch with the son. They have the location. Eventually they did that. And then this just goes on and on. I mean, meanwhile, we're both going into shock. It's so hot. I had burns on my back. It was so hot in the wing. And the pain started to come in, because first you're shielded from God. Gives you grace where you don't feel the pain at first. This time goes and you start to feel it. And it was really pushing me. And then also I'm like, is this going to catch on fire? I mean, all these things go through your head. So all of a sudden I hear in the very distance some sirens, but they didn't get close. And I asked the dispatcher, I said, why aren't they getting closer? She goes, well, they don't know. They can't only get so close. It's the middle of the woods, because we can't find the entry point. She goes, this is the deal. We have 20 units surrounding the woods. That is, it was in the middle of some private property. It wasn't easy to get to. She goes, some of them have megaphones. And she goes, the second you hear a megaphone voice, that's when you're going to scream with everything you've ever had in your whole life, so that they can keep screaming, because they're going to have to follow your voice. So this time I was barely able to talk, and I was shaking like this. It took me forever just to put one thing into, I was just, you know, not going to shock. But the second I heard this man's voice through a megaphone, and the Holy Spirit that came in me, because the roar that came out of me, I couldn't do now. It was his voice coming out so loud. And finally, and I kept yelling, and I had the energy to do it. It was his voice. And so then a sheriff came out of the woods, you know, it was all brambles in his hair. And he was, it's like, we would never have found you if you didn't pin and yell. And it was the Lord doing that. And so they had to get cut down some trees. This farmer and a bush hog came, and, you know, all these other things happened. And the paramedics were so nervous. This is a small town. They started to vomit. One vomited, one dry heaved. I mean, I don't think we were looking that bad. That was my opinion, but they thought so. And I was like, pull it together. Gotta pull it together. I'm in pain. You know, I'm in a lot of pain. Some comical things happened, but I was able to have clarity of mind. And then they got the air vac going, and then got to downtown Atlanta. By this time, as soon as I was in the air vac, I let go. I just didn't have the energy anymore. And I just was focused on looking. And then I just couldn't move a lot. I had a crush injury and ended up having five vertebral fractures. My leg had to get surgery, plates and screws and hand fracture, rib fracture, you know, head trauma, that sort of thing. But thank God it wasn't anything more. And the thing is, in the trauma bay, I remember thinking, well, I'm going to make it. I don't know about this leg. And then they talked about a woman, they called her Zebulon, because they give you code names in the trauma. And they said, Zebulon's probably going to be paralyzed. We're on standby for when they tell us that she loses full function we think it's going to be more the left side. And I thought, wow, well, I was in a plane crash, but at least I'm not Zebulon. And then something told me to look at my wristband. I was looking at my wristband. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm Zebulon. They're talking about me. I'm like, oh no. But I'll tell you the power of your mind, because at that moment, this knowing that was beyond knowing, meaning 100%, not 99.999. I had 100% knowing, not my history, not my story. They're wrong. I will prove it to them. Not happening to me. Not happening. And so, at that time, people found out we're in the plane crash. I knew people, it was different places of the world. And so they were all praying, and I could feel the prayers go through my body. And it was a couple hours. I remember the neuro checks going on every 10 minutes. And I was, at this point, I couldn't move my body. I had pain meds too. I couldn't even open my eyes. And all of a sudden I would feel them touch my foot. And I'm like, I would push with everything in my might, because I was like, they're not going to tell them that I'm losing weakness. And I would push with all my might. So I'd get stronger. I was getting stronger, not weaker. And they were perplexed. They're like, you have the wrong foot. They're arguing back and forth. So finally they had to get the neurosurgeon in there. And then he said, they all looked, all the doctors looked at my scans again, and they were really confused. They said, well, I guess we looked at your scans wrong. We don't see how you're going to be paralyzed. We're taking off the neuro checks. So, I just feel like that was still God that intervened. The great thing was, a lot of people that were praying from around the world, I had some people tell me that experience helped them believe in God again, helped them believe in miracles, power of prayer. And that was amazing to see. I had started my first call to prayer group, and I scheduled it literally for the day after the crash. I didn't mean to, but it had already been set up. So all these people were already going to this call to prayer, and I didn't know I set up my own call to prayer. And so that's what it was. It was pretty amazing for that. But a lot of miracles happened, and the Lord protected me, and then I was able to heal better than I ever thought. I mean, I had to have friends feed me, bathe me. It was humiliating. I couldn't do anything. But then through power of your mind and prayer, and then also I used more alternative methods of healing too, with things like Beamer pads and things like that. But now I'm stronger than I was before the plane crash. And I feel blessed, and it's a miracle. And God, it is very testimony that God decides when we die, and nobody else, no matter what the enemy wants. Ultimately, God has to let it happen, right?
Mm-hmm. He's ultimately always in control. Mm-hmm. That story, literally, when I was listening to it earlier today, I almost broke down. I was like, that's so powerful. It's unbelievable when you can see, God work in such an amazing way. Some people have, when their walk with God and their witness is just that they've been able to maintain their faith their whole life. And that's just amazing in the world and the culture that we live in. Other people have Paul-like moments where, God comes down and says, do what I say, and boom, it's there. I mean, and that's kind of my situation that happened to me. And then you have other ones like this, where you see, even in the midst of the worst tragedy, that you come out better than you were before by the grace of God.
Yeah.
That's one of the most amazing stories that I've ever heard. And it's just unbelievable.
I mean, we could have been left out there easily and just died of exposure. Because it wasn't just one miracle. I mean, you have to understand there were many there, that even the sheriff and others that were the first responders were like, we would have never found you if it wasn't for XYZ. It wasn't just one. I mean, so it wasn't, there's no way it's coincidence or a fluke. And now I know why he gave me that message. There's always a reason for everything that happens in all of our lives if we pay attention. Most people don't pay attention. If you pay attention, you'll see that the Lord has been speaking to you or me, And now I know why he told me that message. Because if he didn't tell me that message, I think I would have been more. It helped calm me down. Like, okay, it's his will, no matter what. Although I was picturing, you know, the newspaper report saying, you know, all this. I mean, because I had a lot of time to think, and too much time to think.
Yeah.
And it was about putting myself totally in his hands. I am yours. I'm just your, you just, yeah. And not making deals with them. There's no deals. I wasn't doing that. I trust in you, Father. I trust in you, Lord. What is your will? I trust in you, Father. And that's how I did it. I wasn't making deals at all. And other times in my life I have, for some reason, it was so, obviously it's so extreme. It's so extreme. And it was still like, this is happening. This is not happening. Because we were almost at both airports. I mean, runways. And didn't make them, right? And then, I don't know. It's how the seats exploded. It should have been even more of an impact. And as far as making, and my spine, somehow I didn't lose any height, which is amazing. Been able to just do great things. I mean, I'm impressed. Our bodies are made to miraculously and wonderfully. And that was the other point of God showing me. He's like, I made your body so that they can heal, you know? It's because I'm a, you know, physician. And I think the medical profession has put too much emphasis on themselves. And we forgot how God created us and that there are other ways to heal and that our bodies can heal. So it was humbling. It was humbling to be the patient, humbling to see the other side, humbling to see how, you know, when you're not treated well, right? Because I had reputation for what I do. So some people liked me a lot and some people did not like me. And they told me and they took it out on me. And, you know, I had to, you know, feel that and see that like other people have had that happen. And it's not right or nice when you're in a very vulnerable position and people in positions of power do stuff to you. But I think a lot of people listening could probably relate to that. These are things that we need to work on collectively, making better in our world. And we can, our dignity and the sanctity of life, right? I refused all blood products and they freaked out about that. That was one of it. Because I don't want the blood. And so they tried to force me and I was out of it with the pain meds, right? And so there's something called Jehovah's Witness. I'm not a Jehovah's Witness, but they have a protocol where you can do things where we can do other things and you can bleed down to like 2 of hemoglobin and you're fine. You know, you can give extra fluids and something called erythropoietin. So I said, you can give me Jehovah's Witness protocol. They're like, but you're not one. I said, but it doesn't matter. I believe in the same thing. I don't want the blood. And so the fight that went on about that, I was like, this is crazy. We need to have the ability to choose over our bodies and what we have and what we don't have. And, but thank goodness I was able to sign it, but I couldn't see. It was like, I was out of it with pain meds. Like the signature was even on the paper. But I made it through and they patched my leg up and I'm okay. But it was a lot of lessons I learned. I was humbled a lot of ways.
It shows though, and this is the most humbling thing. And I think a lot of people out there hearing this too, if you've been through something like this, something traumatic in your life, if you've been through addiction, if you've been through just so many other things, you know, abuse, you've been through all these other terrible things in your life and God's brought you through it. He's got a plan for you. There's a bigger thing for you out there. There's a reason that you went through that. There's a reason that you suffered those things and came out of it. Cause guess what? Somebody else is still suffering.
Yeah.
Somebody else thinks they're all alone. But you can be that witness to those people because you've been through something like that. And I think that's amazing. And I think that's why it's so important for people like you, people like me and Ben to share our testimony, to tell people, this is why I believe in God. This is what God's done for me. Some people might say, oh, it's so little compared to that. And for some people, it might feel that way. But guess what? The greatest thing God has done for you or me or Ben is salvation, is sending his son. So when you get to that point and you understand that there's nothing greater than that fact, everything else is just icing on top. Everything else is just, you know, the gravy, that these things that we go through It's to help somebody else in the long run. That's really the whole goal.
And I do people, have one. Just want to say one thing. People need to realize the power of prayer, because it was the thing that kept me going. And never forget how powerful you are to pray for somebody, knowing or unknowing. That's what we can do for anyone, right? Just wanted to remind people of that.
I got a couple things here, real quick. I'm not going to hold you all night, I promise. But where can people find you, follow you, any of your information, anything that you want to put out? This is your shameless plug right here.
I have a webpage. It's my first and last name.com, carrymade.com. I first started just speaking out about what was going on in the injections called, falsely called vaccines. But now my shift has been more about how to heal naturally, just different speakers, really about, you know, people doing things in a new way about how to make this world a better place. And how do we do that? And also we do call to prayers every week. Just free downloadable resources. We call it Tuesday Tribe Talk. We meet once a week. We talk and educate and we pray for each other. We've met each other in different states. It's pretty neat just getting connected. So I'm on fire for the Lord. And after that experience, I was on my hands and knees many times saying, holy, holy, holy. And so, yeah, I follow him.
Last true question here. If the world, if you could tell the world one thing that they need to hear right now, I mean, this is one of the most important things that we do on this show, as we try to ask everybody at the end of the show, what is one thing, if you were allowed to say one thing to everybody in the world right now, what do they need to hear right now?
They are made in the image of the true living God. There's only one God that is living God, if they choose it, and that he loves us. And I feel it comes through me. It's not me, human me. It's his love, faith, and hope that is so strong. And so never give up on that, and never believe this fallen world. Don't believe the lies of the adversary. He's coming back soon. And you are loved, and you are made in his image. Never forget that. You have more power than you can ever believe. Once you realize who and what you are, when you remember who and what you are. And the Bible is the only source of truth.
Thank you so much for coming on today, Carrie. Dr. Mede, I'm going to say it right this time.
Good, yeah.
Us Michigan people got to stick together. So thank you so much for your time. And we've loved talking to you.
Thanks. Enjoyed being with you guys too.
Thanks for listening to the Dig Bible Podcast, the place where you can't lean on a shovel and pray for a hole. You gotta dig. Be sure to check us out on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook. Be sure to like, comment, share, and subscribe. Keep digging.
Hey guys, this is Steve from the Dig Bible Podcast. I really hope you guys are enjoying the content, but also the sound quality. It's drastically improved since I handed that duty over to the handcrafted audio. If you've enjoyed the quality of the show and have any audio or editing needs, reach out to Jason at thehandcraftedaudio@gmail.com. And as always, keep digging.